Coming up on TMS, Skeletor is my co-pilot.
I could eat a million peaches for hours.
Facepalm about face roll.
Congratulations, it's a homer.
Secret wiener date.
Undeniably massive butt plug.
Ooh, those two are not related. Gender reveal truck nuts.
Or that one. Neither righteous nor brothers.
Armpit nips.
Not anti-vegan, just anti-moron.
More wiener than bun.
Tori Amos's crotch is an additional point of articulation.
Joe Doobie.
Trying to scam the HOV.
Skinamax with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I find myself a little speechless at the moment.
Good looking girl, until you looked close. Dandruff.
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
Well, I effed that up. I don't know what I did there. Hey, everybody. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Monday's TMS, where Scott learns how to use his soundboard for the first time.
You have chosen to mute the music.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. I think I just twitched and hit my finger on the button there.
Sure. A little bit
of the old, I had a matcha tea this morning. Makes me a little jumpy, a little spazzy, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm Scott. Matcha. He's Brian. He's here. Brian smells like a wiener. We'll get to that in a minute. Jeez. I don't know if you guys noticed that when you walked in, but there's a reason. Uh-huh. We'll get to it. We'll get to all of that here on today's TMS. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's Monday. We hope you're all well. It's President's Day. Brian, do you eat a million peaches? Or what do you do?
I do. There's a kitty on my foot and I want to pet it. And I pet it.
Oh, good.
For President's Day. Yeah. I actually, there was a typo on my calendar. I thought it was Residence Day, and so I listened to a bunch of avant-garde music made by four guys with eyeballs and top hats all morning long. So
I think you did the preferable activity. I think that's fine.
I don't know. I really like the Presidents of the United States of America band, and there's a great cover, one that we played on the show maybe twice, of Candy by Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop and Kate Pearson. You remember that song? Candy, 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 I can't let you go. Where Iggy Pop tried to do a weird sort of crooner voice.
Yeah.
And there's a cover by, it's like Kevin somebody, the lead singer of the President's United States of America. Very handsome, bald man.
Yeah, the skinny bald guy, head skinny singer
bald guy.
Yeah.
He does a cover of that song, and it makes so much fun of the original. You know, like stuff like instead of it being 20 years between the time that they first met and the time they reunited, it was 20 minutes. You were in the bathroom for 20 minutes. I had to leave. I had to get out.
That's great.
Was I supposed to wait for you for 20 minutes? No, I'm not going to wait for you.
Have we played that? I feel like we've played that.
We've definitely played that on the show. Okay. Yeah
there's, I have some memory of that somehow. Well, they wish it was their day, but really, it's our look at the institution of president here in the United States, and a lot of all the banks, but a lot of companies take a day off. My daughter works at the university; she's taking the day off. She's out with her mom right now, picking up the boy, doing errands and things. And not us. We're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We continue down the pipe, folks. We got to come out clean on the other side. We can't stop now. So no. We aren't taking it off. I know DTNS takes it off. Everybody I know takes it off. Not me and Brian. Look at
my goodness. What are the? I mean, okay, sure. You know, there's the formality. It is a Christopher Ballew, by the way, is the lead singer of the President's United States of America. I thought Kevin something, but it's completely not.
Gotcha.
Christopher Ballew.
There you go.
We honor, we believe in the sanctity of the leadership of this country most of the time, but we celebrate those original, the vanilla stock presidents of the United States of America. Our Washington, our Lincoln, our Jefferson.
Yeah, your old favorites, your standards.
Yes, the classics. Know? Yes.
Well, I have some fun facts about presidents I'd like to share with you today.
All right, I'd like to hear them.
Let me start with this one. You mentioned Washington.
I did.
Here's a fun fact.
When
about
you're talking
him.
About presidents, you gotta start with the OG.
Oh yeah, Washington is your man. Played expertly by David Morse in the John Adams HBO miniseries. Here's an interesting fact about him. The only president to be unanimously elected was George Washington. He served between 1732 and 1799. He also refused to accept his presidential salary, which was $25,000 a year. Now, in today's dollars, I don't know what that would be. That's probably a lot.
It would be a lot. Yeah. Holy cow. It'd be crazy numbers.
That seems like a very expensive.
Because I don't think they make a whole lot more than that these days. Just their presidency pay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, they seem, pretty confident in that dude. He got a unanimous, election. It was like no question, complete confidence. You're the guy. You're our man. 300,000 says Dice Tomato.
300,000 says Dice Tomato. Okay.
Did he make that up, or did he look that? What did you do, Dice Tomato?
Well,
what calculation?
Popsicle Klein says almost 800,000 today.
Oh well, then Dice Tomato, check your numbers, and then also I don't know if Popsicle Klein is right either.
Popsicle Klein, check your numbers. I mean, who knows? That number could be so hard to figure, right? Because it's
sure.
There's got to be other things involved with the pay that aren't just here's your check, here's your monthly check. Would you like it direct deposited into your account?
Yeah, no kidding. Plus, there's lots of, there's incidentals up the wazoo when you go, as my dad would say. Biden goes to Camp David for a weekend, that's on us. It's a taxpayer based thing. Trump went golfing, we paid for that. If Obama went to Hawaii for the weekend, we pay for that. Everybody pays for it.
One of those rare trips to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, it was very rare though. It was hardly ever
rare.
Yeah, rarely there. They were always surprised to see him.
Exactly.
So there's one there with the 25K a year. Here's another interesting one. Because the KKK was a powerful political force, Truman, another president, Harry Truman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Harry? Mm-hmm.
Harry S.
Truman, right.
That's right. Not to be confused with the Twin Peaks sheriff.
Yeah. Truman was encouraged to join the organization. According to some accounts, he was inducted, although he was never active. Other accounts say that though he gave the KKK a $10 membership fee, he demanded it back and was never inducted or initiated. So some controversy there. Mm.
Wow, no kidding. Mm,
Truman.
The chat room, fantastic. Everybody entering in what looks like, the accurate amount of how much they get paid, right down to the cents, right? $513,043.80 or $532,477.27. And you're just wondering if they're just... what do you call that? Face rolling the keyboard to come up with those numbers, or if they've actually found an accurate source that that says it.
Oh my gosh, Brian, should I even admit this on the air? You just taught me something that has never clicked with me until this very second.
Roll?
I didn't know. Okay, like in World of Warcraft context, playing an MMO.
Well, that's where I've heard that.
You're going to face roll this boss or whatever. And I always heard that and went, I just thought that meant you're just going to go face to face with it and let's go. All these years, I didn't know it meant roll your face on the keyboard, which makes sense now because it's just chaos, right? You're just like pushing on the button.
Exactly. You're like hitting every key.
I had no idea. I feel like an idiot now.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know what? No, I mean, it's not, it doesn't feel like an obvious phrase, a face roll. Oh, let's just face roll this boss and get to the next one or something like that.
Yeah, I just didn't know what it meant. I thought it just meant like...
It's like your character is so easy to play. You don't even need to press keys with any sort of accuracy. You can just rub your face on the keyboard and beat the boss.
Oh my gosh. I mean, look, I only ran a very popular 16-year podcast about World of Warcraft. You'd think maybe I might know what the hell that damn phrase meant. All right. Well, that's embarrassing. Okay. Hey, moving on. How about this one? This is a fun one. Grover Cleveland, he was a president there.
Yeah.
Was the only president in history to hold the job of a hangman also. He was once a sheriff of Erie County, New York, and twice had to spring the trap in hangings.
Whoa.
Ooh, cool. Grover.
Spring
it's like
the trap.
Grover,
is that where
let the button go, Grover. It's time. Kill him. What? What'd you say?
Okay. I'm going to turn the... Yeah. And I want it to be him like turning the lever that makes the shoe come back and then come forward and kick the ball out of the bucket, which goes down the stairs and then through that chute and then into the...
Rube Goldberg death device. That's the one.
Right. Exactly. Makes the diver jump into the bucket, which...
Brian America is right in the chat. It says we need to bring the name Grover back. I agree. No one's Grover anymore. Let's bring it back. Let's get it on.
Why not? There's, and that's a tough name to shorten. You don't say, oh, hey, Grovy or Grow. You know, it's like you would be called Grover. You people would not shorten your name to a nickname. Oh, hey, Ver.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
How about this one? You may or may not know this. If someone said to you, Brian, what is the S in Harry S. Truman? What is the shortening of that? Or what is that long for?
I believe the S stands for nothing. It is just the letter S.
You are 100% correct. It says it stands for nothing. Therefore, there is no period after it. That's why whenever you see it, there is no period after S. It is just a thing he called himself.
Exactly. It was almost like the Homer J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. J stood for J.
Not quite. Nicely done.
The letter J stood for the name J-A-Y, which was brilliant.
It's a great episode. I saw a very funny TikTok video that had the Homer reference in it. So you know that meme of Homer backing into the bushes? Everyone uses it to say ooh, I don't want to touch this, and they back into the bushes.
Exactly, like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, very common gif. It was a baby reveal. You know gender reveals?
Oh, yeah.
And it looked like a normal one. This guy's got a big balloon. It's a black balloon, so you have no idea if it's going to be blue or pink in there. Uh-huh. He's got a big old pinned pop at the wife's there. They're all excited. They pop it, and out comes a bunch of yellow smoke. And the dad goes, wait a minute, what the heck? What does yellow mean? And then the camera pans, and there's a dude in a full Homer outfit backing into an actual bush off to the side.
Really?
It's really good. It's very funny. And it doesn't, like, you don't know it's a joke until you see that.
Until you see the Homer looking dude with yellow. Is he wearing like yellow makeup to make
all of it. He's got a big like rubber Homer head even. It's like a big.
All right, good.
But he's got the full like big white shirt and I don't know how. It looked like it was maybe a whole suit. But it made me laugh. And I hate gender reveals like with a passion.
I do too.
But they are
the worst thing. And it's like just do the cake thing. The cake thing is as much as you should probably do for your gender reveal. Have the baker bake a cake with the color inside it. Friends and family, close family if you want to do that sort of thing. It doesn't need to go viral because guess what? We don't care that you're having
nobody
a baby.
Cares. Nobody cares. I mean, we care if we know you.
Care.
If we care, we know you. And if we know you, you tell us. That's it.
Exactly. And we, you know what we care about? The wildfires that are caused by your stupid bombs that blow the blue and red smoke. Pink smoke.
Too many fires have been started. Too many people have been killed. Too many weird things happen. Quit doing that.
Yeah.
But also, that was a really funny joke. So part of me is glad it's a thing so that they could do
it. Yeah, exactly. That's the one thing. There was a, what's the podcast that talks about funny pop culture, or not funny, but fad pop culture fads like truck nuts and gender reveals and
I don't know.
Oh, it's great. It's such a good
podcast. Are you talking about you're not 99% Invisible, not that one. They do a lot of that sort of thing. I guess that's for stuff you don't notice though.
It's in my my list.
I'm sort of into that, whatever that is. I'd listen to that.
Yes, Overcast. I couldn't remember what app I used to, on the very rare occasion I listened to a podcast.
Too busy making them, guys.
Way too busy making them. It is called Decoder Ring.
Oh, I have them. Decoder I have them subbed.
Ring
I just haven't.
Fantastic.
Huh. Maybe I'll, let me see. Do I still have them in here? Because I switched apps a while back.
He's
Pocket Cast now.
There's a great episode about the Karen, the history of Karens.
I already subbed to these guys. Why am I not listening to them?
You should.
48 episodes just sitting there.
You should listen to those.
All right.
I mean, because we're too busy making podcasts to listen to podcasts.
Yeah, look, if you spend your whole day making cake, how much time do you have to eat cake?
Right, exactly. But one of their episodes was about gender reveals, and they interview the woman who did the first gender reveal thing, who like came up with the idea, and she's like, I really regret ever starting this.
I'll bet
crap.
She does. Yeah. to her I say, you should you and the person who came up with day dates here in Utah for like prom and junk, you two should get together and commiserate about what you've done, because my gosh. I hate
just
it
think
and
about,
I,
just sit there and think about what you've done.
Yeah, and my kids are all out of that phase now, but when they were in it, it was sucked because they all had this horrible pressure on them to do a big, huge day thing the day before the prom. you don't need to freaking do it. Like, and I know this isn't everywhere in the states. There's some other, probably other states that do it, but in Utah, it's rampant, and
we don't have them. We don't have them here in Colorado, or at least if you have, we have. I haven't heard of them, but promposals is another.
Yeah, another
thing that
one
just needs to go.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
Ask the girl to prom. It doesn't have to be this big thing.
Although when we were in high school, my friend filled a toilet full of an actual toilet. As dad worked at a hardware store, so he got a big unused porcelain toilet, filled it full of chocolate Hershey's Kisses, put the question of "Will you go to prom with
wrapped
me?" down
or
at the bottom.
By the way,
oh, they were unwrapped.
Okay, so they look like poop. Yeah,
oh, this gets worse. So it's they're unwrapped and in there at the bottom. He put a stopper so that there was no hole, you know, to go out onto the ground or anything. Yeah. He filled it with Hershey's Kisses. Down at the bottom, he buried a small little plastic cylinder with the note in it that said, "Will you go to prom with me?" And then he did it in the, you know, I guess, when's prom? April? May?
Yeah, usually.
Something like that.
Late spring.
Left it out in the sun before taking it over
melted,
there.
Like
so
it melted.
Into melted
chocolate.
Yeah, for the most part. Still a little chunky. Took it over there, left it on the yard. Bing bong, ran. Girl comes out, opens the lid. What looks like a big, you know, gnarly poo, and a sign on the inside of the lid that says "dig down" or something. And she had to like dig in there to find that note, and it was kind of epic. But that was just because I was involved in it. Had I not been involved in it, I would have probably frowned on it. You know, I would have been like, "Don't."
Some
do
people
that.
Have a meet cute; they have a meet poop shoot.
Exactly, that proposal stuff sucks too. All right, here's one final one before we move on.
Okay,
for our presidents. Sure. Lincoln logs are named after Abraham Lincoln and the log cabin where
and
he was
his
born.
Log.
Yep, that's right.
Which is, from all accounts, epic.
And here's the crazy bit about that story. John Lloyd Wright, son of famous architect Francis Lloyd Wright, invented them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
pretty good.
That
not
is pretty
bad.
Cool. It's your merging of the greats.
And I didn't know
Frank
this.
Lloyd Wright and Lincoln.
Do they get into this in Hamilton? I don't think they do. James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were once arrested together for taking a carriage ride in the countryside of Vermont on a Sunday, which at the time violated the laws of that state. So they got busted for a stupid
thing. That's in the bonus Act 4 if you stick around for the end. It's like after the credits of Hamilton. After they've taken their bows and gone backstage, they come back out and they do the secret Act 4.
We've been arrested. And, we've been arrested. We're never going to get in trouble again.
There you go. Oh, very good.
It's not bad, right?
Yep.
Call me...
what?
I don't know. I can't remember.
What rhymes with Vermont?
Wait, Vermont. Hold on. There's no word that does.
Well, want rhymes with Vermont.
Oh, yeah, but you need to, if you do a double syllable word, though. Like if you had
DuPont.
DuPont.
Lamont. Her aunt.
Her aunt. DuPont. Kant. Oh, come on, Pops and
Kant.
That doesn't work. So, yeah, Scott Manuel Miranda is my new name. All right.
Yeah, beautiful.
Let's hear about your wienermobile. Brian smells like a wiener. What happened? What'd you do?
So Tina said, hey, this weekend we're doing a quick mystery date, a really simple, easy one. I'm like, psh, you know, these things don't ever have to be elaborate. They are not like promposals or gender reveal parties. They can be as easy as you want them to be.
Yeah.
And she says, so, you know, right after Film Sack on Saturday morning, we'll do that. Well, we moved Film Sack to Sunday, and then we were going to move that thing to also Sunday, but we kept it on Saturday, so to make things a little bit easier. Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, you ready? We're going to go. I'm like, all right, cool. Hop in the car and we start driving way up north. And I'm thinking, well, what the heck is up here? There's a Topgolf, but, you know, Tina said it's a quick and easy one. Topgolf would be like a 2 or 3 hour deal.
Yeah.
We get to this King Supers, and as we round the corner, I see something huge, red, orange, like those bright, recognizable colors, branding colors of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Oh.
And you see pictures of this thing, and I gotta say, seeing it in real life just doesn't compare. It's amazing seeing this thing.
Don't you think the bun's a little small for the wiener? Just from a visual standpoint.
Well, you know what? It's better. I would rather have more wiener than bun than more bun than wiener.
That's a good point. You're
Jamie,
right.
There's a freebie for you.
Yeah, enjoy that.
Because then you get a couple bites that are hot dog before you get to the bread. And it's way better than like, oh, great, it's mustard-flavored bread. Yum, let's get to the meat.
Good point. A wiener that hangs a bit out the bun, is a better hot dog combo. Yeah,
way better.
I agree with that.
You see this thing up close, and it's like, okay, this is like, it's a car, right? That they have, like, the bottom underneath the hot dog. It's almost like a float, a parade float, where it's like, oh, this part is just like regular, weird looking sedan, rounded edge sedan with license plates and everything. That they've just kind of blomp, dropped a hot dog and bun on top of.
Yeah.
So it parks. There are six of them that rove around the country doing tours. And this one is going to be in Colorado for the next couple days. And I don't know where it's going from here, but sadly not to Utah, we found out, unfortunately, because I think you got to check this thing out.
Yeah.
But as part of their you know, presenting this thing, you get a chance to go up the stairs, like a little side, like a Winnebago set of stairs, into this airplane door, underneath this airplane door, and then look inside. You can't, there's like a rope, so you can't go, you can't even set foot inside it, but you can kind of lean in and take pictures and stuff, so you get to see. And it's like, it is like a decked out red and orange Winnebago in there with maybe like six or eight seats. Captain's chairs looking Star Trek things that and this huge bulbous dome window over the front, and it's just great. It looks like so much fun to drive.
Yeah, I would
and
love
I guess
to
you still
drive,
can
yeah.
apply and be a Wienermobile driver slash navigator.
What do you have to commit, what does that take? What do you have to show
you have to
them?
Commit to a month, I think, of of travel, interstate travel.
Okay.
And then you basically every day or every day you're working, you set up a tent, you and your partner are there greeting people, handing out wiener whistles and stickers for hours, and then you and then you get back in there and you drive to the next place. So damn cool.
That seems it seemed rad just the up close. I'd never seen inside. I thought maybe the inside would be kind of thrown together or be just normal looking inside vehicle. It's not. It looked really cool.
I mean, no, it's gorgeous inside. Yeah.
Looks like you might actually have fun driving that thing.
Totally. And I did get a wiener whistle, whistle.
Yeah.
It's sitting upstairs. It's still wrapped in plastic, but at some point I'll take it out and blow it on the show or something.
Yeah. So did you,
and they don't serve food out of it. Like, that's the first question. It's like, is it like a food truck? Can you get hot dogs in this thing? Nope, you cannot.
Not part of the deal. Sorry.
Not part of a deal, but they park like in front of a grocery store, and you can go in there and get your hot dogs.
Sure enough. So I'd be, just for the record, I'd be terrified driving this. It would be like driving a semi. I can't drive moving trucks, for example, because I feel like I'm just going to destroy everything around me. It's just too long and weird. I can't do it.
It is. It looks unwieldy, and I don't know how. Like, there is no rear view mirror, right? Like with semis and moving trucks and stuff like that, you are completely reliant on side mirrors to do all of your viewing behind you.
Oh, right. So you don't have a way, because that wiener, there's no rear view mirror.
There's no rear view mirror. Yeah. I think there's a bathroom back there.
Do they have like a little, smells like beef, but maybe there's they don't have camera, you know, like a camera type, rear view or any of
that'd be pretty cool, right? Like an always on rear facing camera for that sort of thing. That'd be cool.
My our Volkswagen has one of those, but I rarely look at it because I'm not used to it. But in this thing, I'd have to rely on something like that or forget it. Wouldn't
for
work
sure.
They need to make electrics of this and then sell them. I don't know why. That's dumb. That's a bad idea.
like a smaller version, like a
like a little a coupe, you know, a wiener coupe.
New Kia Wiener.
All right. Well, on that note, wieners and all, we're diving in here with Dunaway, who's going to join us for a bit of the old Babel Royale Monday edition business, which we now call the Morning Half Asses, at least for now. This is the sub name for Babel Royale today. And I'm saying all this because we're killing time while Brian answers
his phone. You're vamping is what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm vamping. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Vamping is the word. I'll continue to vamp as he joins us. Oh, here he is. All right. Look at that, everybody. It's Brian Dunaway joining us for Babel Royale. Brian, good morning.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey, nice to see
you. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We're good. How are you?
As good as Monday.
Yeah. We had a good.
It's Monday.
We had a really fun film sack. I just want to push it out there that it was, in particular, very, very fun. And I think people should go check it out. We watched
Mars Attack.
For some of us for the first time. And I guess me and Dunaway were the first timers.
First timers.
And you might be surprised what we thought of that movie.
Or you might not be. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. Go check it out. It was really, really fun and a great episode. All right, Brian, good to have you here. We're going to play this game. Brian's going to explain how it works and what we got to do to help people win.
I don't just explain it to us.
I will explain it. All right, get ready to take notes because this one's so, so much more complicated. Mm. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses at those answers. But if they get any of those answers wrong, they get 0 points for the round. If they guess one, get it right, they get a point. If they guess two, get them both right, gets them 2 points for getting those and a bonus point, so they get 3 points total. And if you guess all three correct answers and get them right, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and we're pulling contestants from members of the Tadpole that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Gerson in Houston, Texas.
Nice.
Gershwin or Gerson.
Gerson. Gerson. G-E-R, Gerson. Like person with a G. Gerson.
Oh, person with a G. G-person.
He's a person with a G.
He's both a nice Gerson and a nice person at the same time.
That's right. Brian, you're going to be playing for Perry T. in Duncanville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Perry.
Yeah,
Perry.
You know what? Not enough Perrys in the world. That's awesome.
Perry.
Agreed.
Yeah. Perry White. Very true. I like it. All right.
Yeah. It's true. All right. Let's give you guys your first category and your first six possible answers. Seeing as today is Play Retro, I figured, well, let's start off with a Play Retro style question. Scott and Brian, the category is arcade games released in the 1970s. And your choices are Pac-Man, Asteroids, Gun-Gun, Seawolf 2, Defender, and Galaxian. Which three of those were released in the 70s?
See, I feel so positive I know these that it worries me.
Okay. I think it's
I'm definitely going to get it wrong then.
Seawolf 2 is a tricky one because I know Seawolf 1 was.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, I'm unsure about that. All right, I think I know these. I should know these. If I don't know these. I think I know all three. I'm locked in.
Okay. I thought I knew all three too, but I feel like I'm going to get it wrong.
Okay. All right. So, Scott, you've locked in with Asteroids, Seawolf 2, and Defender. Brian Dunaway, you've locked in with two answers, Asteroids and Seawolf 2. The correct answers are... Asteroids is correct. Seawolf 2 is correct. Galaxian is the third one.
That's what I was debating. Defender definitely was like 81. We talked about it on the show.
Exactly. Defender's 1981.
No, I know.
Asteroids was released in 1978. Seawolf 2 was released in 1978. Galaxian 1979. Pac-Man released in 1980. Defender released in 1981. And Gun-Gun. Not even a real game, just something.
That's what I was wondering because I was like, I'm pretty sure Galaxian was in the 70s, but what the hell is Gun-Gun? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it sounds like a 70s thing though.
Yeah, it does. It sounds real stupid.
Scott, 0 points for guessing Defender.
Yeah,
but Brian Dunaway guessed two, got them both right, so we got 3 points total. Let's go to question number two.
Ooh, nicely done.
Actually, brothers.
Oh.
So three of these are actually brothers. Your choices are the Righteous Brothers, the Doobie Brothers, the Everly Brothers, the Chemical Brothers, the Jonas Brothers, and the Isley Brothers.
Oh, my Lord.
Three of these are musicians that are actually brothers.
You thought they all were?
You put brothers in your title. I'm believing your brother. As far as I'm looking.
Yeah.
Can I check all six?
You cannot. You can. Actually, I don't know if you can. I wonder if the game will stop you from selecting any more than three.
Wrong.
Yeah. All right. I locked in mine.
Okay. Scott's locked in.
Oh, God. I don't know. I feel like I made a mistake choosing that second one. We'll see.
Okay. Both of you locked in. Both of you locked in with exactly the same answers. You guys are both saying that the Everly Brothers and the Jonas Brothers Jonas Brothers, in fact,
right?
Actual brothers.
Yeah, 100%.
That is correct. Yes, you guys both got your two answers right. The Everly Brothers, Don and David Everly. No, what is the other Everly brother's name? Can't remember. But they are, in fact, two brothers. And the Jonas Brothers are three.
We should have just done all the ones that have
the Chemical Brothers.
We should have done all the ones with names that are actual names.
That's what I was debating on. But Doobie could be a last name.
Yeah.
Could be. Right. Joe Doobie.
Doobie.
Yeah. I was pretty there's no Righteous or Chemical, but I wasn't sure about the Doobies.
Yeah. Righteous Brothers are definitely not Righteous nor Brothers.
No. They were neither Righteous nor Brothers. That's right.
That's right. Okay. Bill Medley and
Frank.
Who was the other Righteous
Gorshin.
Brother? Shoot. Can't remember.
Jeremy Pie Blicker. Nope.
Jeremy Pye.
Jeremy Pye. Exactly. Oh my God! If that's like on the border of going the wrong direction, there.
Really, yes, exactly.
I know you thought it sounded innocent, but
yeah.
All right, your final category is occupations that are also names of WWE pro wrestlers. So your choices are taxi driver, the Undertaker, the Warden, Repo Man, the mechanic, and the Mountie.
Okay.
These are
occupations for sure.
Yeah, there's one easy one.
But which of these are, and Scott, you're currently sitting at 3 points. Brian, you're sitting at 6. So, Scott, you need to make a move if you want to win this one.
Does that mean even if I get two right, he'd have to screw up completely.
If you get two right and he misses any, then you guys tie, and I just throw another game into the mix, and both players get two games. I'll do that.
Okay. But it's
so
best
you need
if I
to go
three.
For three if you want to if you want a chance of winning. Otherwise, go for two for a chance of tying.
All right, I'm gonna go for the
and one. Hope that Brian gets something wrong.
Yeah. All right, Brian. You and I both know one of these for 100%, but we don't.
Oh, 100% sure.
Yeah. 100%. Yep. Even I know one of these for 100%. You're both locked in. Scott, you're locked in with the Undertaker, the Warden, and the Mechanic. Brian, you're locked in with the Undertaker, the Mechanic, and the Mountie. The answers are the Undertaker,
damn it.
Repo Man, and the Mountie. Yes, there is a wrestler called the Mountie.
Yeah, the Mountie. I knew that one. I knew the Undertaker for sure. And I kept flipping flop between I unchecked a couple times, the Warden and the Mechanic. Wasn't there a wrestling movie called The Mechanic or something?
There was a movie where Christian Bale gets skinny called The Mechanic, but that's it.
He lost a million pounds for that role.
The Wrestler. That's why I was getting confused.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what it's called? The Wrestler? Oh, okay.
Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke. Yeah.
What character did he... I don't know what the name of that was, but these are... So the Warden is not... I swore there was a Warden.
The Warden is not.
It sounds like one. It should be.
It does. Yeah. It feels like it should be. Oh, yeah. The Warden stepping into the ring right now. The Warden.
Yeah.
Right. The Repo Man. You're going
in the hole.
So the Repo Man is a real. That blows
Repo
my mind.
Repo Man is a real wrestler and a real occupation.
Yeah. I'm a horrible wrestler. I don't have any fandom for wrestling, and so this was a real hard one for me. There was no way I was going to get this.
I did, but I couldn't nail that third one. But I felt like you were breathing down my neck, so I was like, I better go for three.
Yeah. Well, congratulations going to Brian Dunaway with 6 points. That means that Perry T in Duncanville, Pennsylvania, is going to be our winner and get two games. He's getting Fling to the Finish and Tohu, T-O-H-U.
Oh, yeah.
But our runner-up, Gerson in Houston, is getting Voidigo.
I gotta go to the bathroom, Voidigo.
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 Well done, guys.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You're both winners, really, but one of you got more than the other, and that's because of me. So well done, and good job, and we'll do this again. This is really, I really like this variation on
the game. This is a fun, this is a fun alternative.
Yeah, it's really,
very
really
stressful.
Fun. It's nice program-wise, this is very cool what he put together.
It's so
awesome.
Smooth and slick, and again, Alkabob, I've just got to thank you again for putting this thing together. He lives up in Canada, and that's why that's why I had the Mounties. I have a TMS prize package I'm putting together for him to thank him for all his hard work on this. I just gotta figure out the cheapest way to send, basically a combination of what's the most I can send but still have it cheap to send.
Yeah,
right?
And also, like just, yeah, and the smaller the package, the more likelihood it will not get lost in customs. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
I've learned that with Canada. Canada's rough. Equipment. I still have people who can't get their Rock Runners packages because they got just lost in customs. They're just gone. So I got to resend them. It sucks. But here, I got, Brian, when you do that, let me know because I got, we'll give them some flat stuff like a challenge coin. And,
oh, yeah, cool.
Some other stuff. A sticker
nice heavy
crap.
Challenge coin. Excellent.
Yeah, that'll help. Yeah. As long, it depends on what you end up sending. If it ends up being a thing where you have other chunky stuff, we'll work accordingly. But we'll give you something rad, dude, because this stuff's awesome.
For sure.
It's really cool.
Yeah, you did such a great job.
Well done. Hey, Brian Dunaway, later today, I'm very excited about this because today on Play Retro, a video game show all about retro gaming, where Brian and I have a lot of passion for the stuff we talk about. In particular, I'm not that much of a sports video gamer. I like sports games.
Right.
Mostly, I enjoyed them in the 16-bit era or so. But it's not like I'm crazy about a new copy of Madden or, you know, I don't get into it today the way maybe some people do. However, there was a little game in 1994 called NHL 94 that is still, to this day, I think my favorite sports game of all time. And I'm not alone.
You, Scott.
Yeah.
Would not be alone. There is a whole community built up around this game, and you can hardly talk about the game without talking about the community, and they've just done so much. Is it NHL94.com, I believe? It's like a forum site.
Yeah.
There's a documentary made just a year ago about the fandom, and it's
crazy.
It's a really good a good time.
It's one-timer. Really crazy how big it is. One-timer shots, man. That was the big thing. That game, still to this day, is amazing. To the point that if you go buy NHL 2022, a brand new game, brand new engine, beautiful next gen graphics, all of that, one of the control schemes in there is called NHL 94 because they know people want to play that way still, even to this
day. It's life.
Yeah, it is life. Life finds a way. So here's the thing. We're going to talk about that and its reach and why it's such a big deal and how I would stay up till 4 a.m. playing with my brother-in-law in the mid-90s. It was amazing.
Right. I played
it.
I stay up as well playing this is with my friends. And Brian, another Brian, sent me NHL 94. Mm-hmm. And he sent me a Sega Genesis Model 1. And so I got to play it on the hardware.
Yeah, you're bearing the lead, by the way. He sent me the game and a Genesis. Yeah. To play it on.
Yeah, the Genesis.
Yeah,
he sent me the Genesis, but I got to get a cable for it. I'm using my Model 2 Genesis that I'm playing it on. So that's the reason why I buried the Sega Genesis Model 1.
Yeah, I love the Model 2 a lot. I'm a big fan of that second
edition. Yeah, it has some benefits.
Yeah, it's just cooler looking too. The other one looks like...
I disagree.
Oh yeah? You want to fight? Let's fight. Let's fight today at 3:30
Mountain Time. I'll be the warden and you can be the mechanic.
I'll be the mechanic. I'll be skinny and...
Those names are not taken.
I will lose a bunch of weight right before Batman starts shooting and it'll be great. So anyway...
Or be a taxi driver. I want to come in and run people over my taxi. I think that's the best wrestling move.
Yeah. And say, you talking to me in the mirror? You can say that and shoot, aim a gun at yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Must be talking to somebody else because there's nobody else here. Must be talking to me.
Yeah. Taxi driver.
And then you can be the Joker later and make a movie just like it. Anyway, that's the deal. So today, 3:30 Mountain Time, come check out what we think about this and why it's such a big deal. Even if you don't like sports games, I think you'd be blown away by the history of this thing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So
it goes all over the place. Yep. It's fun time.
Play Retro, wherever you get your podcasts, or live today at 3:30 Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.tv. Brian, have a great day. Okay. He's out of here, man. That's it. Cool.
And perfect amount of vamping there. I got prizes out to everybody, so well done.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I like it. I like when we can give you proficient vamp so that you can get that done. Now this. Well, look at that. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Patron Brian Mitchell Young, who says, I review bad, low budget, and obscure movies. My latest is a Philippine action movie called Blood Debts. Watch my review over at shorturl.gg/SXUB.
I don't think that requires the, I'm not sure that last part.
Oh, short URL? I have no idea about shorturl.gg.
I don't know either. I made it because his thing was so long that I couldn't do it. Let me see.
Why did you do a tiny URL and pick a memorable name or
couldn't
something?
Find a good name. I just tried and it didn't work great. So anyway, let me just see if this makes a difference.
So short url.gg/sxub. And if you need capitalization, the first, second, and fourth letters are capital.
There you go. That's easy to remember. No one will forget.
Yeah. No one will forget any of that. That was so well done.
You'll all be fine. All right. Let's move on. Here's a story for you. Breastfeeding mother in the news. Feeding with her breast. All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
She notices her baby's hair was soaking wet while feeding the baby. Couldn't figure out why.
Wrong, if that's the...
Yeah. Couldn't figure out what's going on. Realized it was her armpit leaking milk.
So she lactates out of her boob and her armpit?
Apparently it's not all that unusual, but you'd think it'd be...
Are you sure it's milk?
Yeah, no, it's like, let's think about what it might be.
Is this the heat of summer in Atlanta? Because that might not be milk.
Yeah, we might need to dig deeper into your breast. She says, my brain cannot comprehend this at all, she says. A nursing mom was shocked to discover her armpits were leaking milk, and now her curious breastfeeding tale is going viral on TikTok. Mom and TikToker Lindsay White gained over 5 million views, 622,000 likes, and nearly 10,000 comments when she uploaded the alarming experience to her account. Now, much like the breastfeeding mom who was shocked when she pumped pink strawberry milk, Lindsay's story is helping TikTokers realize just how amazing the human body truly is. She made it her mission to empower breastfeeding moms everywhere with her brand, The Little Milk Bar. Had no idea that her armpits were capable of lactating until she experienced it herself. It's totally normal for this to happen, according to the International Board of Certified Lactation Consultants, or the IBCLC. They're a volunteer breastfeeding counselor thing for Australia. Anyway, says it's totally normal for this to happen and to have tissue that extends into your armpits. At 6 weeks gestation, when you were a tiny embryo in your mother's womb, milk lines began to develop, starting from your underarms. These lines traveled down both sides of your torso and extended all the way down to your groin.
Oh, so you could be lactating out of your groin as well.
You could be. I mean, I am. Yeah. I don't know what that's about. I've been lactating out of there for years. Anyway, so, the reason
if armpits didn't smell bad enough, how about some old milk drying up in there?
Pretty gross, but I guess, you know, the strawberry part is because while it's not unusual, it's not usual, and you got a little mix of some blood in there.
Exactly. You are not a strawberry quick factory. That is milk and blood.
Yeah, there ain't no flavor there that you're gonna go
strawberry.
Yeah, thanks Quick Bunny or whatever the name of that thing
this
was.
Is so good.
This is real good, Mom. Keep producing armpit milk. This is what I prefer, says the baby.
Somebody sent me a TikTok video. Some vegan on TikTok that they forwarded. But basically, this dude is saying, "Well, I drink strawberry milk because it's vegan."
Oh yeah, I put that on Twitter. It's the guy.
It was you. Okay,
it was it
you,
me? Yeah. It might have been me. I ended up. I put that up there. It could have been seen by somebody else. But he's like, I'm vegan still because it's strawberry milk. As if you get milk from a strawberry. I don't know what to even say to a person like that.
Like Nesquik strawberry milk, which is milk with strawberry flavoring, but, you know, it's vegan.
What would you say to that person if you met them? Would you have a thing to say to them? What would you say?
I'd say, and also, lifting grocery bags is not CrossFit.
Yeah, good point. There you go. Yep, there's a good way of doing it. Even that's at least some exercise exertion, which you could... You know.
Right. It's this, the vegan, like the drinking milk, strawberry milk while you're vegan is just poorly educated.
It's like just saying,
poorly educated, not looking at the ingredients of the product that you're consuming.
I got it. Here it is. It's like saying I can't eat pork for religious reasons, so I'm eating this hot dog because it's made of dog. It would be like that, right?
That's a good comparison. Okay. Yeah, it's this guy's better one than the one than mine. Yeah,
it's also very anti-vegan. I apologize to all our vegans out there. I know there's a few of you.
Okay. Oh, we're not anti-vegan. We're just anti this guy who's not paying attention to the vegan things that he's touting.
Yeah, exactly. No, diced tomato. The idea is that it's not made of dog. Diced tomato doesn't get the joke. It's not. If you, he says strawberry milk as if it isn't really milk, because it says strawberry, meaning comes from strawberry. I'm saying hot dog as if it doesn't come from pork or beef or something else. It's dog because it's in the name. Do you see?
Yeah.
Diced tomato. You need to just listen. You need to show up to class early. I'm just teasing you. All right, we got one more story here. Driver on the I-45 or 405 rather. You've been there, haven't you? We've all been on there.
Which one? Oh, 405 in Los Angeles. Yes, right.
Yeah, we've all been on.
Although this looks like it's up north. I mean, still the same 405, but that extends all the way up the coastline up to.
Oh yeah, there it is, Washington.
Washington.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Anyway, driver on the I-405 caught using a fake skeleton as a passenger in the HOV lane. Oh no! Don't do this. You'll get in trouble. let's see here.
The cameras totally won't figure out that that's a skeleton.
No, never.
Please tell me you put clothes on the skeleton because that's really the only way this. Okay, all right.
Oh, he totally did. Look at that photo. It's in the link. It's great.
Oh, let's see. All right.
I'll see if I can bring it up as well, so the chat can see it. Here you go, chat. Isn't that great?
It's like it's making a screaming face too. Yeah. Oh my god!
Get me out of here! That's a great thing that the mouth is open. Drivers attempting to cheat in the HOV lanes in Washington over the years have tried a variety of tactics to fool state troopers. One such driver was caught in the act on Monday after dressing a fake skeleton in a hoodie and buckling it to the seat next to him. I feel like he may have drawn too much attention to it because it's in that bright yellow, you know?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Also, how bad does it smell in that vehicle that he needs six air fresheners hanging from the rearview mirror?
What the frick?
Brian, nice catch. Why are those all... Why? Is it because people get lazy?
Is that like a real human skeleton that he just dug up and that's why he needs all those...
That's really weird. I didn't even notice that. That's one of my favorite things about... some photos or some videos where the point of the video is whatever it is, but there's something lurking in the corner.
In the background or in the corner. I know. You're good at this. Like when I send you a photo of something, you scour it for anything weird in the background. Then you zoom into it and send it back to me with that zoomed in highlight.
I love doing that. I don't know what it is, but like,
this dude? Yeah.
I love doing that. One of my favorite ones was... there was a TikTok video floating around of somebody showing off something weird it was something their cat was doing in a closet or something. Uh-huh. And they're filming the closet, but for a quick glimpse in the corner of the closet is a gigantic butt plug. Like, and it can't be anything else. Like, it's the shape you've seen everywhere. Sitting in the corner, big old pink thing.
Unmistakable shape.
That's yeah.
They probably need like six air fresheners in that closet.
Yeah, swap it out. Swap out the car with the closet is what I say. Maybe this is a real decaying passenger. Maybe that's why there's so many.
That's what I'm thinking, right? And it's like he dug this guy up.
Yeah.
The top half of him anyway.
Like you do.
I wonder how far the skeleton, like if obviously there are no legs on it because you don't need them, but is the skeleton's chest in there? And if so, why? If you're just doing the head, and wouldn't it be, couldn't you just get a mask of like a real human face?
Yeah, no kidding. I guess I could.
There's a lot of questions here.
This skeleton I have back here is a full body. I would use him partly because his mouth is shut and he has legs and I could dress him better. These people are just being cheap.
But if you're going to put clothes on it anyway, why even use the skeleton? Because you would probably say, you know, that skeleton face is obviously too skeletony.
Yeah, it gave it away, didn't
it? You'd put a mask on it. And if you're going to do that, why use the skeleton at all?
You know what?
Why not just take a sweatshirt, stuff it full of newspaper, put a mask in the hoodie head, and then call her good?
Or do a proper mannequin. Like, really go for it. If you're going to do this, go for it. Yeah. Don't half-ass it with a dead-looking open-mouth thing. Yeah, with no legs.
And the grossest sweatshirt you could possibly find.
Yeah, I think that's what we need. Yeah. Let's see if I have a good skeleton thing I want to play, or Skeletor thing. Oh, here we go.
I don't think I feel well.
There you go. That's always a good one.
That's what he said in the car.
Yeah, I don't feel well.
There's too many air fresheners. I'm going to be sick. It smells like somebody farted a pine tree in here, he-man.
I love Skeletor so much. I could talk about him every day. All right. We're done for now. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Steven Schleicher will be joining us. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. If you want to hear more about the controversial moves that Amazon and Comixology are making with their app, and the comic readers are up in a tizzy about it. And why Steven might have better, he may have a little slightly more nuanced, positive take. So we'll see what he has to say.
Ooh, okay. Yeah,
that's coming up after this song. Brian, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, today with our President's Day, we celebrate the United States and our Purple Mountain Majesties. But I also want to draw your attention to Pink Mountaintops. It's a brand new band featuring members of Black Mountain, the Melvins, and Red Cross. So some rock and punk influences in there. These guys are currently on tour with Dinosaur Jr., so they're, you know, they're up there. They're in the big name. Their brand new album comes out May 6th via ATO Records, but we've got an advanced single that we can play for you right now. The new album is called Peacock Pools. Here is the lead track, Lights of the City. Here are Pink Mountaintops.
We'll be right back. Fat kids, thin kids, tall kids, short kids, they'll all work. We need lots of kids.
The greasy dressings, both cream and clear, leave a telltale smear.
This is the Morning Stream. Dave's not here, man.
Whoops, we're back, everybody. Hey, Brian, what was that song again? Tell me more.
Yes, sir. That song is Pink Mountaintops, the brand new song from that band. It's called Lights of the City from their upcoming album, Peacock Pools, which comes out May 6th.
Very nice.
Yes. Hey, quick note for people. Yeah. If you are a FilmSack fan, and you know, you better be because it's one of the best shows out there,
yeah.
And you want to see Mars Attacks, make sure you watch it before 1 week from today. It leaves Netflix at the end of February.
Oh, yeah.
So go get your Sarah Jessica Parker, Pierce Brosnan, Jack Nicholson, Glenn Close fix.
Yeah, get it on now while you can. If you want to see two heads make out, this is the time to do it. And it reminded me right as it ended. I got this message saying, watch it again before it leaves or something.
And, yes, yeah. Exactly. I forgot to mention that on the show yesterday, but that's the deal.
Yeah, I spaced it as well. Anyway, go check that out. Hey, look who it is.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
You know him, you love him. It's Steven Schleicher, head of all things Major Spoilers in Hayes, Kansas. Hello, Steven. Welcome back to your Monday segment.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hey, man.
Hello.
It's always nice to have you here.
Thank you.
How was your weekend? You do all right? You know, have some fun? Whatever. What'd you do? What'd you do for fun?
Yeah.
It's kind of quiet here, too. I think you're having the weekend I had. Just kind of I had a bad week last week. Like, the whole week sucked. And and so this weekend was all about me sitting on a couch, playing Bomberman on the Super NES on my little handheld.
Well, like, I would have thought you would have been playing Horizon, the new hotness.
I have been playing that as well, but there was a lot of this time where I was like, I'm just going to sit by Kim while she watches one of her shows I don't like, and I'm just going to chill here with my head on her lap and play a video game. And so I did a lot of that. That was mostly yesterday, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So what does Steven do when he's having one of those weeks? What do you do?
Probably binge something on television. Yes.
All right.
That's what
like
I would
the rest
do.
Of the world. So
I,
yeah.
Okay. I ended up, I started this show on HBO Max. It's been out for a while now called The Foreigners. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but it's a Cinemax production. So, you know, there's going to be some nudity.
Oh, sweet.
In this.
Okay.
But it is about present day. All of a sudden people start appearing in the water. There's a flash of light and people start appearing in the water. And all these people come from three different eras: the 1800s, the Viking period, or Cro-Magnon, you know, the prehistoric period.
Okay.
So, and it's like thousands upon thousands of people. So, this is a Scandinavian production, Swedish production. So, it is dubbed or subbed if you want to go that way. Mm. So, everything is this, and it ends up being kind of like it's a cop drama series. So, one of the Nordics, which is what they call the Vikings, so that you're not being culturally insensitive, is the first person to join the police force. And she is accompanied kind of with the grizzled old cop. And they have to go out and solve murders and investigations involving just things that are going on in and around Oslo. And it really becomes very quickly becomes a metaphor for immigrants coming into Europe from the Middle East or from, you know, other places. It's very clear that that is what they are trying to make an analogy to. But instead of saying, oh, we're going to have a bunch of Muslims come in, we've got a bunch of Nordics come in. And how do people feel about all these Vikings running around in modern times, who some of them can cope with being in the modern day, some of them cannot.
So. Ah, so, okay. So it's allegoric, like a lot of science fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what you're saying is you got some 1800s people, you got some Vikings.
Mm-hmm. A 60-ton dinosaur tamed by a small boy and a caveman.
All right, and a caveman. They're all there.
Lots of them, like thousands upon thousands of them.
Okay.
Wow.
That sounds interesting.
Sounds really cool. Yeah. It's a series or a movie, you said?
It's a series. So I'm in the middle of season one. Season two is out, and I think it's been out for a while. I was listening to an interview with one of the creators on another podcast, and they said they don't really have an end date for what they're planning on this show. As long as they still make it and others are still interested, they'll keep releasing it. So it's not like there's some you know, conspiratorial in-game of we have to get to five seasons so that you can figure out the secret.
Can you are they going to have like Moors show up or like some ancient Mongolians? Like,
no, it's well, so people are showing up all around the world from these same time periods.
Okay.
So maybe in the Americas, which we don't ever get to see, maybe you have instead of Nordics, maybe you have, I don't know who else, maybe some Native Americans. In that same time period.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, look at the Swedes making weird stuff on cinema.
Trying to figure, like, wow, do we see some hot Viking on Cro-Magnon action since it's Cinemax?
You don't actually see sex, but one of the main characters in the first episodes that I've watched is a dude that is supposed to be, I put this in quotes, supposed to be a Neanderthal, and he just walks around naked full frontal the entire time.
Nice.
So, oh, jeez.
Nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Scott's all over this thing.
Yeah, I'm in. Give me some give me some hot caveman man wiener. You've got me.
Caveman wiener.
Yeah. Caveman wiener. It kind of lessens the impact of the man part, but it's fine. I'll take it. Well, anyway, Steven, that's great. I'm glad I asked now that we've heard all about this, and we'll check that out. Comixology, a thing a lot of us as modern day comic readers know all about. It's kind of cornered the market as far as like buy a comic, read it digitally. It was purchased by Amazon back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it was like, oh, cool. Now it's got the backing of, you know, somebody big who can keep feeding it and, you know, make it a bigger thing.
Right.
And then they very promptly took the store part out of it for any kind of Apple users, which was a bummer because it's, you know, it's got a big iPad following because that's a great place to read comics. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we dealt with it. We lived with it, whatever. And then it languished for a very long time and not really updating. It's got the same features it had 10 years ago. It's kind of old.
Which,
and
you know,
tanky.
To be honest, nothing wrong with those features from 10 years ago. Yes,
their
files were a little bloated. Yeah. Yes, it did take a little bit of time to download stuff. But as I've functioning, I would argue, how many of your modern physical brick and mortar comic book shops have updated in the last 10 years?
No, it's a good point. Yeah, I think so. There are some features I would like as far as sorting, finding artists that work on different books, things like that, but for the most part it's fine. And in some ways it has more features even than like DC or Marvel's thing, but they just released a giant update and seemed to be the consternation of the entire internet. So what happened there? Give us the history and then why you have a... It sounds like you've got a take that might be slightly more positive on this.
Yeah, so to my knowledge, for the better part of the last year, Comixology, owned by Amazon, and again, as you said, Scott, for 10 years, has been working to move the Comixology website and interface and the way that you buy digital comics into the Amazon environment, right? Into that ecosystem.
Yeah.
And I know they've been working on this for more than a year. Major Spoilers is an affiliate with Comixology for a long time. I would say for about a year, year and a half. And then in the last 6 months, we've been told that, hey, your affiliate program is going to end. You need to, you know, get over and set up your affiliate with Amazon, which we already have. It was clear that there was an end date or a supposed end date that all of this was going to happen. And as I watched from the affiliate backside, you could see that they were pushing the date and pushing the date and pushing the date until finally everything moved over officially, the URL, everything moved over to Amazon last Wednesday.
Yeah.
New comic book day, which, you know, if you want to make people angry, do a major update on the day you're supposed to release something big.
Yeah. No kidding.
And it was not a good launch.
Yeah.
They're, you know, under their new comics section, they only listed 30 comics total. They only had like four categories. They had originally it was Comixology Unlimited stuff, Comixology Original stuff, manga, which was a huge section. Then they had Family Friendly, which included Archie Comics and some of the others. And then finally they had New Comics, which they only listed 30.
Yeah.
They had nothing that said, here's everything that came out this week. They had nothing that had stuff that's coming out next week so that you could pre-order it. If you're outside of the United States, all of your subscriptions that you may have had through Comixology have been canceled. And then a feature that I completely forgot about, but seemed to anger a lot of digital comic book fans, is Comixology also allowed you to download a backup PDF of your comic.
Yeah.
So essentially a PDF version of your comic.
Yeah.
And they've discontinued that.
Oh,
and
right.
So,
yeah. Think of it as like movies, right? It's like the Netflix lets you download an episode of a series.
Right.
It's the same kind of idea. Yeah.
Except I don't think you can like store those off on another hard drive and just watch them whenever you want, right? They have to be on your on your media device for Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I haven't used that. But anyway, it was a disaster. Now, that being said, for the last 4 or 5 months, or even longer, actually, if you went to go do a search for the comic book you wanted to buy on the Amazon website, you would find it in both Kindle and Comixology format. And again, Amazon's trying to push everybody off to Kindle for everything, right?
Yeah.
For this. And so it was just a big cluster schmoz, and everybody was very, very angry. There were features there that were missing. There were a lot of people that were in the beta that were like, no, you guys need to do all these things and fix them. And then when it launched, everyone was like, oh, Amazon doesn't care. Comixology doesn't care. Down with digital comics. Mm-hmm. There, I have a different take on this.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Do you guys know what MVP is?
Envy or M?
NVP?
MVP.
MVP. Yeah, most valuable player.
It's not most valuable player. Okay. That's what most people think about. It stands for the minimum viable product. And when you're working in a business, if you're getting ready to launch a new product, if you're trying to get, if you're a startup and you're trying to get your product to market, the thing that you need to rapidly do is get your minimum viable product. That product that gets out there that hits a certain target date or deadline, it may not have all of the features and all of the things people are expecting, but it's released and it works and it does what it's supposed to do, meaning that you can read digital comics in this case. And buy digital comics through the Amazon website.
Sure.
But it may be missing features that people are expecting or that people want. Okay. And I think that's what they did here. They were hitting, they had a deadline that they had to get, and they got the MVP out the door because the very next day on Friday, or I guess 2 days later on Friday, they had included all of the new comics that had come out this week, sortable by publisher, and included a calendar that lets you look weeks ahead to find out what's coming weeks ahead. So they're already starting to address a lot of the issues that people had on launch day as a big complaint.
Yeah.
Should Comixology, though, a company that has been around for 20 years, however long it's been, feels like 20 years, really feels more like 14 years.
Yeah.
Should a company that's been around for over a decade, working with a company like Amazon that's been around for 25 years, should they have been launching an MVP? And my thought is, no, they shouldn't have. But when you look at it from that perspective of how do you get a product out as fast as you can, the MVP way is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know what you guys go ahead.
I think I agree with you. Well, here's what I know for sure, and I don't know if this is just after being screwed too many times or just seeing the reality of how things work so many times, but there's no such thing as the perfect launch of anything. It's never happened. Nobody's ever full. There's no situation where everyone's 100% happy. And so what you're aiming for is a larger percentage of people that are happy. Or maybe the platform grows enough to make up for the people you may have pissed off. Whatever.
Right.
I get that. And also what I understand is like the DC app launched in kind of a little bit of disarray.
Mm-hmm.
And within a month, they got that thing running real nice. And now I think it's the best app on the market. On the other hand, Marvel did a big refresh to Marvel Unlimited, and it's, I think, demonstrably worse than the previous version.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, and it's getting by, and it's fine, and the content's still there, but I don't think it's nearly as easy to navigate or move around in as it was previously. And so you see them scrambling to do updates. This is like video games. This is like anything that requires development, and people and time and cost and UI and all that other stuff comes into it. And I just think that takes time to work itself out, and it always does. So this isn't like some kind of shock to me. What is sometimes a shock is that they get it more right than wrong sometimes, and that's great. We're all like, yeah, they got it more right than wrong in this launch. Well done. Pretty bug-free. You didn't crash, blah, 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 whatever. That's always great. But name a modern, complicated piece of software that you don't get patched for a really long time, and certainly right up front quite a bit. It just doesn't happen. So to me, this is just like
77.
if they plan on making money, then they're going to want to make a good product, and they will continue to iterate on it until it makes money, and then we'll buy it because it's good. And that's it. That's as simple as it is.
Keep in mind, digital comics, which Comixology has the largest share of it, or the largest access point to it, is still a $10 million a year industry.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that may be, you know, toilet paper for Jeff Bezos, people are still not going to pass up $10 million. Here's kind of a dark side to the to this MVP thing that I think may also be happening is that we released a product based on some marketer's schedule demands, shareholders' demands, etc. We're intentionally going to leave out the features that our beta testers have been telling us to include because we know that's what people will be screaming about on day one.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the next 2 weeks or the next month or whatever it is by April 1st, I'm sure we will take care of all of these things so that people who are the most angry with us are then going to come back and rejoice and say how great we are because we listened to our concerns and fixed our concerns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all part of the marketing, right? Let's release that ugly Sonic the Hedgehog thing so everyone complains, and then we'll show them the real one so that people are like, oh, they listen to us.
No, that's actually a really good comparison.
I know that's a real thing, but it still seems fishy.
No, I like it. I think it's a good comparison. I think that maybe you may be right about that. I mean, it's hard to say, right? Like,
right.
It feels like that thing was so ugly and so off that there's no way they couldn't have known that they were making a major screw up there, and they... So I've always, and then they were very quick about fixing it. So I don't know. You're probably, I'm not conspiratorial, but if I have a little bit of tinfoil hat on, it might be that Sonic thing was a bit of a ruse, but
yeah.
But yeah, like it'll end up being fine in the long run. It always is.
I think by April, everything will be fine. Yes. You'll still have to deal with the funky Amazon interface, which I liked Comixology.com's website interface because it was clean and smooth and lacked a lot of clutter.
Yeah.
Now you go to Comixology.com and it's got the Amazon, essentially the Amazon wrapper around it. And I don't like it as much. But again, I can see from Amazon's point of view, let's use Comixology as a funnel system to where people come in to buy the new G.I. Joe comic book. And they also see a G.I. Joe action figure and a G.I. Joe mug and a G.I. Joe T-shirt. And hopefully they're also going to buy those things as well.
Yeah, I remember people being very annoyed at how the Amazon Prime Video looked when it first launched because it basically just looked like a bunch of Amazon store listings.
Yep.
And what did they do? They made it better. So they'll make it better. It'll be fine. I mean, I guess
So everybody who's upset, I think just calm down.
I'm not even being like pro Amazon here. I know they can screw people over, and I know it's a problem. I'm just saying if you want a healthy comics ecosystem in digital form, we need to be rooting for this to succeed so that other smaller efforts also succeed in its wake, that the long tail includes other players, that Amazon does a good enough job with this, that it's still a valuable service. Like, I don't want to root against this because this is how I consume comics now. I don't want to buy a bunch of paper anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, me too.
I want to do this. Yeah. So yeah. I'm in the boat of like, I don't know. They've done good via Twitch. They've done good via a few others. And you could, you know, everyone, there's going to be people that disagree with me, whatever. We're a world of opinions, but I think this will improve with time. It'll be okay.
Everybody I think so too. I really think by April, everything will be back to normal. People will be buying their digital comics as normal. And again, I'm rooting for digital comics, not necessarily one company. And I have been rooting for digital comics since the very first iPad released. And they said, oh, by the way, you can buy these Marvel comics on the iPad. So, you know, I'm totally down for that.
They also seem to be beefing up the Comixology original stuff, which I love that because these sometimes prominent, sometimes not names in comics, writers and artists are getting to do, you know, basically their own work, control it like they would with Image, but maybe even with more control. And I think that's a really good thing. Like there's a lot to be excited about. A lot of people, the biggest freak out was some of their older comics weren't displaying right, like they looked tiny or couldn't zoom in or whatever. Again, I know that's shocking at first, but that's not a thing they're gonna let fly. It's a bug, and they'll fix it. It's like video games, really, and video gamers have the worst patience of all time. Comics readers might be just above that, but we're pretty impatient. So just, you know, a little patience, it'll all work out. Just a little patience. Remember what he taught us when he sang that song?
That's right.
Don't forget.
Start whistling.
Yeah. Yes, you will. Steven, this and so much more can be discussed and heard and talked about over on the Major Spoilers Network. I'm sure there's something going on this week you'd like to mention. What's happening?
Oh, yes. If you are excited, speaking of Amazon, if you're excited about this Rings of Power series that's coming out this week over on the Major Spoilers podcast, or not the podcast, but on the website, majorspoilers.com, Ashley Victoria Robinson is going to start breaking down between now and release date all the little tidbits of knowledge that you need to know about the Rings of Power and what some of the things you saw in the trailer mean and who are the main players and that kind of stuff. I believe this week, if I'm looking correctly, her rundown is on the Rings of Power themselves. Where do they come from? What do each of them mean? What are the powers behind them? So you can look forward to that.
Many of those went to the Kings of Men, and those guys are dicks.
Oh, man. All of them. What is it? Nine of them went to the
Kings of Men. What the frick, dude? The Kings of Men are just giant dick weeds. I hate those guys. And then they became the Wraith, the Ring Wraiths, and they're total buttholes in that form. Oh, man. I can't wait. It's going to be great. Looking forward to that show in, what, September that's coming out?
September, yep.
Yeah. Well, let's let Ashley help us there. Let's let her lead us there with her hand.
She's ready.
Yeah, she's great. Steven Schleicher, everybody, Majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, have a great week.
Stay hydrated.
Bye now. It was a very efficient segment with Steven.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I liked it. I liked that a lot. Now let's do a very inefficient thing, which is we're going to play a mashup. Technically, it was a bonus, but it's running today as a Monday's mashup. It's called Charcola Cochlea. Charcola Cock. I don't know.
Cochlea. I think those ear things you have. And it's a Poorly Remembers Stuff episode.
Some of our favorites. So let's find out what we said and did right here, right now. Yeah, what's her boobies mom?
What's her boobies?
I can't think of her name. The one that showed her boobs a lot when she was in horror movies. Now she's great.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. What's her name? Hold on. I know it. Oh,
can do it.
It's like a name you would have if you lived in
Cuba. A little bit of a Hispanic last name.
Yeah, like a Cuban name.
Okay. You're headed there.
Rosio O'Donaldson.
Nope.
Sabrina Maria Von Treacle Pants. I don't know.
Starts with a G. Hard G.
Oh, Gina Perez. Gina Rosie. Gina Chit. Give me the first name, first letter of the last name.
T.
Torres. Gina Torres.
J.K. Rowling did the Artful Avenger or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The Systematic Democrat. What was that book called?
What was that? That was something weird.
The Efficacious Penumbrium.
By the way, she has not been nominated for Best Director since she directed what's-his-name's penis in The Piano. So there's that.
Oh, really? Harvey Keitel's penis?
Yeah, Harvey Keitel's swinging dinger.
Can you name one other thing about that movie?
There's a piano in it and his wiener, and then Holly Berry.
I'm not going to say it because I want to see if you can come up with something besides Harvey Keitel's penis.
It's really shocking, and it's all I remember. Molly, it's not Helen Hunt.
Oh my God, you're so close. You've got all the pieces. You just need to put them together.
Holly Hunter, there. Geez.
There we go.
Had that Charpock Chokley or whatever his name is as Mad Doc Murph. What's his name?
That was beautiful.
Charcalot Cochlea or something. What is it?
Charcalot
Cochlea.
What's his name? He was in the District 9 thing. Scott. Right? The District 9 guy? Am I thinking of the right guy?
Yes, you're thinking of the right guy, but I want you to figure out his name right now.
Charpock Pokely. No?
What's his first name? Just start with the first name.
Charpock.
No. Not even close.
Also, no.
Let me try it again. Charlie O.
Charlie O.
This is great.
It's not it. Last name's easier than I give it credit. It's something.
What's
like
his last name?
Chopley?
No.
Chopley. Charpock Chopley.
This is like a Nicole Spagnuolo get out of jail free card.
It really is.
Oh, man. A lot of film sack in that one.
Totally, yes. Yeah. Apparently that is where we poorly remember the most shit.
Yeah, I remembered it so poorly I couldn't remember before we started it what Charcola Cochlea was supposed to be. But now we know. Yeah. All right, Charcola Jamie. Cochlea. Jamie, that was maybe one of my favorite ones you've done. Nice job. Really enjoyed it. Although I seem like a complete idiot in his mashups. Brian forgot what? Was there one thing you forgot in there? I think it was you once.
Yeah, it was me not remembering the name of the J.K. Rowling alter ego book.
But yeah.
I think the Efficacious Penumbrium is, I think, my favorite book title that needs to be made.
Right. Like, what's stopping us? Let's write that book right now.
It's going to be my new podcast, The Efficacious Penumbrium.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Coming to Overcast near you.
Now, by the way, for the chat rooms, you know, just to help you guys out, it is Charlotte Copley, right?
Charlotte Copley, yes. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
I think that's right, but I can never remember it. and then we're probably better for it. All right. Hey, Brian, along with Play Retro today, there's also a fantastic new soundography coming. And the reason I know that is your subject matter is some of my favorite music.
Interesting. Hammond and I listened to the entire catalog of Tori Amos. And boy, it was like reading 14,000 fantasy novels, just one right after another. She is a very talented singer-songwriter. And we kind of pick through the material and find some of the best stuff that wasn't a single, wasn't Boys for Pele or Caught a Light Sneeze or God, Sometimes You Just Don't Come Through and stuff like that. Anyway, that is the most recent episode of Soundography. Just came out, just got posted this morning. Listen to what we thought of the entire catalog of Tori Amos.
Nice. My memory is a lot of sitting at a piano with her legs spread real wide. Is that a weird thing to remember?
She would always like, the top half of Tori Amos faces the piano.
Yeah.
The bottom half of Tori Amos faces the audience.
Yeah, and looking right at you, just like, look at my crotch!
Like a thing that would have broken a lot of action figures as a kid for me was positioning them like Tori Amos plays the piano.
Yeah,
and can't be really good for her spine. I would think that that's probably not comfortable for her.
Maybe she has additional points of articulation that we don't know about.
Yeah, she has extra. Yeah, Tori Amos and her. That's a very good point. Additional points of articulation.
Yeah, weird. That must be it. Well, all right then. So look forward to that. And we mentioned Play Retro. Lots of cool stuff. Yeah. I think Carter and I are going to stream a little classic gaming today between now and the show. If you guys want to see that, just watch for my tweets because I'll post something up. We're just going to test a little setup we have where we can go head-to-head in things like Bomberman or, you know, Balloon Fight or old stuff.
Nice.
And do it together in the same room. So we're looking forward to that. And she's off today because it's,
President's Day.
Day, yeah. Anyway, I do want to thank a few presidents in our lives, people who are presidents of our Patreon. Walter Van Ruin. I don't know how you say this one.
Ruin. Oh, the next one?
Yeah.
Dental Tech.
Dental Tech? D-N-T-L Tech. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think they're a dental technician.
Must be. That's awesome. Todd Baker. All of you, wonderful patrons.
That's an easy one to pronounce right there.
Yeah, thanks, Todd, for being the one that's not hard. But you guys are all great. We love you for being there. They're in the Deal Me In or Grade A-plus levels. You're like, what levels are those? Go read about them. They're easy to understand and what you actually get for them. And we're really cheap, man. We made it so it was possible for people to pay as low as $1 a month if they want to support the show. It's insane and stupid, but we did it.
Yeah.
Genie's out of the bottle. Go take advantage of it right now at patreon.com/TMS. For all other things, check out frogpants.com/TMS and send us your emails. I don't push this enough, but you do send them a lot. But either way, themorningstream @gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. All right, Brian, we probably should play a song and get out of here. What do you got?
Probably should. And Amazon just let me know that they delivered the little cable adapter that I need to be able to use my GoPro Hero 7, Hero Black 7, as a webcam for paintings.
I'm excited about this. I'm gonna watch this. So when are you doing this? Do you have a
schedule? I don't know. I gotta try setting things up, and at some point, maybe this afternoon, we'll figure it out. If not today, then definitely tomorrow, because there's a lot of freelance that's gotta happen today after the show.
I love it. By the way, someone just did a title that was the TRPW. Thanks for not being hard, Todd. I love that one. It's really good. That's probably going to get chosen.
Todd.
All right, Brian, play me that song then, will you?
Play you a song. Adam, also goes by the name Jamadako in the Tadpool, says, "Hey there, Scotch and Bonnet. Sending in a request for my 35th birthday, which is February 18th. But last time I put in a Friday request, Scott forgot to attach the song to the podcast. Figured I'd get a little bluesy with this one as the entire genre is full of covers, but seemingly underrepresented here. I'd love to hear Stevie Ray Vaughan's cover of Little Wing, which was originally a Hendrix tune, I believe, ? And it is. Yes, that is correct. Anyways, love you guys as always. Adam from Plymouth, Minnesota. Jem Adako from Discord.
Happy birthday to you!
Listen, I sometimes forget. It's very rare, but I will I don't know what it is about PM and my post-show like workflow. I forget the song there sometimes, and I don't. So I have this new thing where there's no way it'll ever happen again. I won't explain because it's boring, but I have a new way, so it'll never happen again. I apologize that you were a victim of my stupidity. So there you go.
There you are. Look at you.
Right. That's not all true. Right, so, Lasar, wait, hold on. Dr. Sheep says the last three PMs don't have songs. That is absolutely not true. Last weekend, last week absolutely has a song. That is not true. Don't listen to him. He's lying. All right, Brian, go ahead.
All right. So the Little Wing cover by Stevie Ray Vaughan in Double Trouble, as great as it is, and it is great, is one of my favorite covers of that song. It's a little too mainstream. I don't want to raise the ire. Look, there's several companies I don't want to raise the ire of, and I believe that one is owned by Sony, and I don't want to raise the ire of Sony. Mm-mm. But I'm playing a different cover here that is very reminiscent, very, you know, cut from the same cloth as the Stevie Ray Vaughan in Double Trouble. And I'm hoping that this is new to a lot of people who haven't heard this cover and totally remembers this band from the late 80s and 90s, Concrete Blonde, and the incredible vocalist Jeanette Napolitano. The amazing range, and, you know, she sang about Caroline and walking in New Orleans or walking on Bourbon Street and that sort of thing. Anyway, she's great. I did an interview with her years ago for Coverville, and she was one of the nicest people I ever had a chance to talk to. She did a cover with the band that got released on a bonus album called Still in Hollywood. It's a collection of B-sides and rarities. Came out in 1990. Includes this cover right here of Jimi Hendrix's Little Wing. Here's Concrete Blonde.
Thank you. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Left nipple.
Left nipple.
Left nipples.
Left, give me your left nipple.